A family earning $150,000 a year sits at their kitchen table, staring at college acceptance letters. Their daughter got into her dream school, a prestigious private university with a $75,000 annual price tag. They've saved $50,000 over 18 years. The math doesn't work. They feel like failures. But here's what nobody told them. That $75,000 sticker price is fiction. Welcome to America's most bewildering financial labyrinth, where the cost of higher education has become a shell game that would make a Vegas card dealer blush. 4 years at a state university now exceeds $100,000. Selective private colleges demand upwards of $300,000. Yet 89% of private school students receive discounts averaging 52.6%, meaning two classmates might pay wildly different amounts for identical educations. When COVID-19 sent students home mid-semester, it exposed uncomfortable truths. Families had been paying premium prices for experiences colleges couldn't consistently deliver. The question isn't just whether college is worth it, it's whether we even know what we're buying. That $75,000 sticker price? Theater. The real number emerges from algorithms tracking your zip code to how often you open their emails. Behind admissions lies a $1 billion enrollment management industry, treating empty seats like airline seats, worthless once the semester starts. Software determines precisely what discount will entice each student without offering a penny more. The average private college student pays $23,952 annually after discounts, less than many public universities charge. This opacity serves institutions, not families. As Case Western's enrollment director admits, what else do you buy where you don't know the prices until you've already limited your choices? The federal expected family contribution formula compounds confusion, excluding home equity and retirement, while expecting families to contribute 5.64% of other savings annually. Even USC's former VP, despite her MBA and banking background, couldn't decipher FAFSA. Families seeking modest discounts faced more scrutiny than her $25 million corporate loan decisions. Merit aid sounds noble, rewarding academic excellence. The reality? It's a sophisticated discount strategy for families who could pay full price but strategically won't. This transformation began in the early 1980s when Ohio colleges pioneered discounting to attract better students. After the 2007-09 recession, public universities joined in, raising out-of-state prices while offering substantial merit discounts to attract non-residents. The University of Alabama exemplifies this perfectly. They increased merit aid from $10 million to over $137 million annually, with more than half their students now from outside Alabama. This isn't generosity, it's revenue optimization. Those discounted out-of-state students still contribute far more than in-state students, while truly needy students watch resources redirect toward affluent families. Despite predictions of higher education's collapse, the system persists. Overall enrollment may drop 10% by 2029, yet competition for elite schools could intensify with 20,000 more qualified applicants for top 50 institutions. Income inequality ensures the percentage of full-pay families will actually grow. College decisions trigger primal fears that obliterate rational thinking. Parents who benefited from affordable public education now face costs triple in inflation-adjusted dollars. The anxiety transcends spreadsheets. It's about whether children will maintain their family's economic standing. Children born in 1940 had a 90% chance of earning more than their parents. For those born in the early 1980s, it's nearly a coin flip. Guilt compounds these fears. Parents blame themselves for being financially unprepared, harboring cruel optimism, the magical belief that money will somehow appear. One parent confessed, "I feel like I've failed my child because I can't write a check for $70,000 a year." Status anxiety adds another layer. Less than 3% of undergraduates attend highly selective institutions, yet their graduates dominate. 43% of Y Combinator startups, 58% of Kleiner Perkins funded ventures, 33% of U.S. Senate seats, and 45% of MacArthur Genius Grants. Parents face an impossible calculus. Is spending an extra $100,000, $200,000 worth potentially better career access? Few colleges are genuinely known for teaching excellence. Universities reward research productivity while providing minimal incentives for teaching quality. According to the American Association of University Professors, 73% of teaching positions aren't tenure track. Adjuncts earn roughly $3,500 per course, often lack offices and benefits, and teach at multiple institutions to survive, with 25% qualifying for public assistance. Their precarious employment discourages innovative teaching and limits student availability. The Gallup-Purdue Index revealed that students with professors who cared about them personally, made them excited about learning, and encouraged their dreams were twice as likely to be engaged at work. Yet only 14% of graduates experienced all three. Research universities and Ivy League schools scored worst. Mental health services represent another critical gap. Nearly a quarter of new undergraduates now classify as disabled, primarily due to mental health diagnoses. Campus counseling centers face overwhelming demand. Utilization increased 30 to 40%, while enrollment grew only 5%. Most schools have just one therapist per 800 to 1600 students, forcing session caps and reduced treatment effectiveness. Your peers are college's most underrated factor. Facebook data shows 70% of female Rose Holman graduates marry fellow alumni, while military academies hit 58%, reflecting intense bonding in specialized environments. Campus design matters. Traditional dorms with shared hallways foster 6.5 close friendships yearly versus 3.9 in apartment-style housing. As one Yale graduate reflected after 50 years, "At Yale, I met the sort of people who I never could have imagined actually existing in the world." Women's colleges create unique environments where women hold every leadership position, making them 50% more likely to persist in STEM or complete pre-med requirements. While representing just 2% of female graduates, they comprise over 20% of women in Congress and one-third of female board directors at major companies. Diversity, spanning gender, class, orientation, politics, and first-generation status, drives measurable outcomes. Students in diverse environments show significant gains in critical thinking and are 42% more likely to work in multicultural organizations post-graduation. The peer effect extends academically. Students surrounded by high achievers typically see GPAs rise 0.3 points, creating a virtuous cycle where ambitious classmates elevate everyone's performance. Financial planner Kevin McKinley offers a practical approach. Divide college costs into quarters. Save $25,000 before college, roughly $75 monthly over 18 years, assuming 5% returns. Pay $25,000 from current income during college, with students earning $4,000 during summers plus part-time work. Finance $50,000 through loans, students borrowing $25,000, parents $25,000. Research shows children with any savings account in their name are 6 times more likely to graduate college. Have conversations early, before college visits begin. Share information about savings, potential contributions, and borrowing willingness. Researcher Caitlin Zalum calls the alternative nested silences, where neither parents nor children discuss financial realities. When researching schools, examine presidential speeches and strategic plans revealing institutional priorities. Determine if schools are need-blind and meet full demonstrated need. For merit aid, some schools publish grids showing discounts based on GPA and test scores. Appealing financial aid works. Success rates range from 1/3 to 57%. Success means understanding how the system works, determining what's worth paying extra for, and confronting your feelings without letting them drive you to overspend. Your child's future matters, so does your financial stability. Both can coexist with honest conversations and clear-eyed research.